This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, thanks for making us part of your day. It is a game for NHL. A Stanley Cup playoff, Western Conference final night, and we need the Stars to play well. And I know Brian's ready over there in his in his Stars cap, and we're ready to go 4.5 hours of sports with you. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. There is Broadus, the former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here today. 75 and 52, keeping the Gators down best he can. Okay, G-Bag of the day is coming up at 5:30. We'll replay the champ for you coming up at 2:25. Went to a vote-off last time. At G-Bag Nation, follow us all when you get there. Wolchuk and Chia, follow in the house, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.thefan.com, Twitch, and on YouTube, Brian. You have a good weekend?
I've had a great weekend. Doss, nice. I'd just like to start this show off with a thought. I don't always read the text, but I like this one. The 469 said, just hit their fastest skater in the effing ankle and have him sit out a few games. F Edmonton. I like what we're doing here. I like that kind of attitude right off the jump. Okay, now back to not
reading
this.
Especially if you don't get Roope Hintz back tonight. Let's go an eye for an eye, boys.
That play by itself, I think, really got under the skin. In the context of all the officiating decisions that have gone against the Stars here through three games, it stings. And when you can clearly read his lips, as he might have broken the guy's foot and says, get up, you P-word, that's worth at least a one-game suspension to me. I don't know how you're letting people get away with this. And they say, well, we penalize the action, not the result.
Yeah.
Well, the action was a blade directly to the part of the foot that's highly sensitive.
Yeah.
Right? And he was swinging in that area. So what is intent? You know, that sure looked like intent to me.
It was
intent.
The 469's got it right. Let's go. Let's just go.
It was intent.
Hammurabi's code, an eye for an eye here.
Absolutely.
Let's do this.
And officiating so bad in game three. I mean, we got Jamie Benn with a cut over
We didn't play worth a damn either.
Come on.
We didn't play worth a damn.
Yeah, you didn't get helped. I mean, not only when you're playing against a good hockey team and the officials.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. That second period they played worth a damn. If they can carry that second period, and they will tonight, this is going to be an otter shutout tonight. He's due for one.
I like it.
This is going to be your Stars' best effort. It's the desperate team theory you're talking about there. I'm calling for a Duchesne goal tonight. He needs to get one, just like he did in game one, and I think that it is the night that Mikko Rantanen puts you up 1-0 and you don't look back.
Please let that happen. But this is the thing when you were kind of thinking about the Stars always have the bounce back game, and then they go back to back losses. Man, that's the thing that shook me a little bit. That the fact that they usually play really well when they get beat up in a game, and then they come back and they usually win, and everybody feels good again. But you lose this one. This is as good as church.
Edmonton was so energized at the beginning of that game, and then you recover from that game two, and right as you're thinking, well, maybe we've survived the storm here, then the things start to fall apart and it gets worse as the game goes on. You don't even score in that one, and then one goal in game three. Yeah. If you're out there in the audience and you're thinking you guys are hitting the hopium pipe right now, I can't rule you out. Right?
Yeah.
Because either they've outplayed you or outscored you, right? And you can talk
less
about
than two goals a game on the road.
The hype
and something. You gotta do something.
We see that the stat, you outshot him, you had more high danger chances.
Sure.
I guess at times in the second period it felt like the Stars were outplaying them, but for the balance of the series, Edmonton is kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Literally and on the scoreboard. And we need the series to change in a big way. I think Edmonton is playing way better than who they are. They're on fire, and that happens. Sometimes you have a week where you play out of your skin. That just happened, right? The Pacers did it last week, too. Now, they've cooled off. And going into game four tonight, New York's thinking, all right, it's time for us to get back in the series and for us to play our best ball. Edmonton's not that much better than the Stars. right? We're in this thing. At 877-881-1053.
I still think Colorado's the best team they played, though. That might be silly on my part.
Well, I think I'd take McDavid over McKinnon. I think as a complete team, you're right. I would go Colorado. I think they also had the better goaltending. It is annoying, though, that it seems like all of a sudden Stuart Skinner sees Victory Green, and here he goes playing his best hockey. Yeah. I mean, what he did in Game 3 was absolutely unbelievable. It was one of the best goal lead games of the entire Stanley Cup playoffs.
He just doesn't see the puck sometimes.
He was unreal. But you need to get to him early. The Stars keep falling down 1-0, and then the turnovers. You know, when
13 out of 18 or something like that. I hear some crazy number.
Yes. I think there's three games maybe that they've gotten up 1-0, and they've only won two on the road. But granted, you've only got to win one per series on the road when you've got home ice back in your favor, and that's tonight. They need to get this one tonight in Edmonton. It is a must win. They've got to show up, and this is when you got to have your moose. I mean, Mikko Rantanen's got to bring his A game. You saw him put the team on his back in Game 7 in that third period. Where is that guy? Because Connor McDavid's done that for them.
Yeah. He's spectacular at that moment that something spectacular needs to happen. I think the Stars have some guys that play their position well and have all the fundamentals and see the ice well. You needed a Rantanen last year when the Oilers were doing a tremendous job holding you to, 14 goals in six games? You needed a Rantanen to be the difference, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed with that, Wolchuk.
No.
So we will continue to discuss this and take a look at your text at 877-881-1053. The 214 says they do penalize the result at times, 2 extra minutes for blood.
Yeah.
I guess maybe because there's no blood, you don't want to possibly reward flopping.
But how could you not see that was a clear chop to the ankle?
I mean, they called it a major and then reviewed it and then changed it.
How?
And then that
referee guy that's their rules official guy, his name's Jacobson. I don't know what his name is, but I don't know. I really, I'm like, dude, he got chopped. How could you not call that? How could you not think that's not intent in a major? Hockey, it's a tough sport, but maybe I'm bitching because it's my team that's getting the raw end.
For sure. That's part of it.
That's probably it. That's probably
warranted.
And hey, if that's the way you do it and the NHL rules expert is on TV saying it, I get it. In the context of also not getting any power plays to speak of, it really hurt. The Stars team is not playing well 5-on-5.
No.
I think they're down 9-3 in this series, 5-on-5. You need power plays, and it's like after that third period flurry, the refs just decided Edmonton can do no wrong.
Yeah, they have not gotten the benefit of the whistle. There's no
Edmonton
question.
Has been better. I'm not going to lie about that.
Yeah,
right?
7 of the 9
Give
periods.
Them credit for their part.
I'm not going to.
It's a physical game.
I know me. Yeah, it is. And
they're
like
a good team.
And Mark Messier, and who is an Edmonton legend, is like, Dallas needs to finish checks.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right.
Well, you saw
right.
that jump in that second period, which is why it was so annoying. They battled their ass off. They get it 2-1. They were quicker to the puck. They were winning wall battles. They had the cross-check working. It wasn't just dump and chase. They were getting into the across the blue line without much contestedness because their speed was working for them. And then what happens? You have a turnover along the wall, and their best player makes you pay for it. Our guys, unfortunately, have not been reciprocating when they get an opportunity on an odd-man rush. I mean, I think it was Edmonton had 9-0 on odd-man rushes.
Sagan had the one, though. Sagan had the one breakaway.
That helped tilt everything in game one.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it. Little plays like that, right?
Too, unfortunately, they had an opportunity for a breakaway, but it was Ben who, was out front.
And he couldn't quite get there.
And he can't.
There.
He just, he's...
He just doesn't have his offensive game anymore.
Well, he doesn't have that speed. He doesn't... Right. Anybody else, it's a jump and it's a go and it's probably a goal. But, it's Ben and he tried, but, they've had some unfortunate bounces that way.
As far as the type of game I want them to play, I think game 3 showed you what happens against this team when you get too aggressive offensively. Outshooting them is a trap. Do we see that? Do we agree?
Because they're not built for that.
They're not built for that.
If you're throwing guys forward, you
need to sit and wait, right? And take advantage of great opportunities and then get into the offensive zone and hold it there. But when you try, when the ice stretches out and your formation is long, and now maybe you only have one guy back, that's the problem. You got to have two guys back, or it's counterattack goals like crazy.
Okay, so
against this team.
You don't want your D-men pinching, is what it is. Yeah. That's the case. Because you'll get Esselindel, you get Miro, you get some of your defensemen that now are going to join the rush on offense. So enable to try and keep it in, what they're doing is they're pinching down the wall and they're being uber aggressive. You want them to stay more back towards the blue line. I don't have an issue with the shots. I think you have to. I think the shots, you got to keep flurrying because that's where this guy starts to get a little shaky. That's where you'll get maybe a bounce going in your favor. But I get what you're saying in terms of you don't want your D-men, even though the Stars do have some guys that have good shots in terms of Haskin and Harley, that can benefit you. You don't want them to be over-pursuing their pinch there. And Pete DeBoer did turn to that in the second period.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, to me, there was a couple of times, and I think we've seen it in the last couple of games, the Edmonton victories, they throw the clock up ozone time. Like, they've got the puck in your end, like, for a minute. Yeah. And it just seems like Dallas, it's the one thing that Edmonton, I think, is better than you at, when they do pinch, they keep the puck in the zone. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't allow it to escape. They're able to, like, pin it along the boards, jump up in the air, knock it down with a stick.
They own the possession.
Yeah, knock it down with their hand. They keep it in the zone. And now it's like, and then it forces ESPN to put up their, oh, puck's been in the Dallas zone for a minute now. And you're just like, okay, here we go. This thing's going to tick-tack around.
When you're exhausted, and, you can't get a change.
And you can't get, you can't get a change. So to me, Dallas needs some of those times where it's a minute in Edmonton's zone and make them scramble a little bit. And I'm about the aggressiveness. I guess I'm a guy that would rather die a quick death than a slow death.
Yeah.
You know, I just, if I'm going to get beat because the speed of their team, then so be it. But I have got to keep the puck in their end of the ice.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you can win high scoring games, you know, but the right now.
Not right now, I don't think. You might be right about that, though. I just see Edmonton keep the puck, their defensemen keeping the puck in, which they cycle and they get chances. And you're just like, okay, well, here it goes. They're about to, you know, it's about to be a tip in or about to, someone's going to be wide open on the other side of the net and they're not going to get across fast enough. So, I don't know. I guess I'm about the quick death, if that's what it's going to be.
Well, your fortune favors the bold, you know.
No,
And it's hard to justify trying to grind out a game when you've only scored one goal the last two. Cowboys OTAs continue. This will culminate mandatory minicamp coming up June 10th through 12th. Availability this week is Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to the next batch of reports and updates on the storylines and quotes. I mean, last week's one or two media sessions was just so fruitful. Cowboys Twitter, Cowboys Google News, headlines everywhere right now. So it's a fun time to be covering this Cowboys team.
So much energy quotes going around. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of all the energy, I've never felt an energy like this. What an energy. Just it's all about the big culture
guys
energy
like
right
Elam
now.
Elam talking about even playing for a
big shoddy energy.
Yeah, you're talking about playing a team at Buffalo that's, you know, been so productive the last few years. Yeah.
The best post I saw over the weekend about the energy and the culture was Jay Tuck grabbing screenshots from December when they were all talking about how McCarthy and the culture and everybody's working hard, you know? And I just wonder, I'm sure it's better because you got a new coach. I wonder if also like Mike Zimmer not being there makes it more fun because
Zimmer's a hard ass, but I don't think he was the hard ass he was. We saw at Cincinnati and Minnesota and those things.
He might not be a hard ass anymore, but he is kind of a grumpy old man. Yeah.
He's demanding and he is a grumpy guy. No question about that. I think a very telling post that I saw was Wanya Thomas and what was it? Fun again.
Yeah.
And he's with a picture of him and shoddy. So.
And Overshown retweeted that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, if it's going to be fun, let's find a way to win. Let's not be fun and getting our ass kicked every week.
We're going to have fun. That's awesome, guys.
I think it might just be that the players know if anybody asks you about the coaching staff, come up with a way of saying they're awesome.
Yeah.
Because if they like you and Jerry likes you, you can stay around here for a long time. Yeah. You don't want to be one of the players the coaching staff doesn't like. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be more important than how well you play. How comfortable do you make your coach?
Do you want to get playing time? That's also a good way there, especially if Jerry likes you.
Rangers need to get some more runs. They are...
This is hard to watch.
They're wasting amazing starts. The pitching is great, right? I'll just watch the 4.5 innings of pitching.
But they've lost 11 games where they've given up 3 or less runs.
Correct, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I hit that right?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Wow. Yeah. And so now it's like...
I thought I heard that on the broadcast yesterday.
Now I think the excitement is what's CY going to do? You know, it's not moving Kamar Rocker to the closer role, as we found out yesterday. He said, I don't know where that report came from. But they are only 4.5 games back of the Mariners because as good as the M's played in April, they couldn't follow that up. They're back to being who they are. The clock struck midnight. So we're in this thing, you know, and maybe that drags out our death. But before too long, you're going to have to do something else than put Marcus Semien out there who's hitting 175. Corey Seager is going to be back maybe this weekend.
Yeah, throwing the rookie out there was a good call on your part, Dawson.
Osuna.
Yeah.
And through two games, he's getting some hits.
Made some plays too out in the outfield for you as well.
That was a great catch coming
Man,
in.
That was great. Yeah.
The Thunder are a lot better than the Wolves. They're now up 3-1. Incredible game four effort by Minnesota. Too much Jalen Williams, though. Career high 34.
Jeez.
6 of 9 from three. Shea nearly had a 40-point triple-double, had the 9 boards. And OKC's defense, they took away Edwards and he only got 13 shots after scoring 38 or whatever he had in game three.
We talked about the way that Oklahoma City plays defense. They don't get caught in switches. They avoid screens. They play out front. They play high. They're long. Yeah.
They can all defend their guy and help on the ball.
Yeah.
Because of their length and speed and awareness.
Absolutely.
And their basketball IQ just off the charts on defense. Yeah. The Ducks laid an egg at my pool this morning.
Oh.
Went out with Remy to take her. Well, she thought she was going to swim, and then she put her foot in it, and it was cold, but then she looked over and saw the egg. I thought at first it was a toy of some kind. What went over there was an actual duck egg.
Wow. Okay.
Sitting right on the patio.
Did you touch it or anything?
Did you?
Okay. Are you going to cook it?
Well, no.
Are you going
to
cook it?
We're gonna try to incubate it. To get a baby duck.
Okay.
Right. So for the whole science experiment of the house.
Right.
So we got it in a heated area.
That's your duck egg now?
Yeah, that's our duck egg.
It's not the mom's?
Mom's going to have to lay a new one.
I think once you touch it, they might not be into it anymore, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
because I picked it up thinking it was a toy, and then I was like, holy crap, this is a real egg. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a duck egg.
Shells are pretty hard.
Yeah, pretty solid egg. And but after I touched it, I thought about that exact same thing because I did that when I was a kid.
Okay.
Are we going on the chat to kind of figure out how to incubate this thing? I didn't know it when you got the DR period in front of your name as a veterinarian.
We got to keep it through between 99 and 100 degrees in this
box. So you got a heat lamp on it?
Yeah, we got a heat lamp. Then we got a hot water, a heating pad.
Oh, wow.
Underneath
Wrapped it. Oh, wow.
Nice, dude.
So
what's the time frame?
Well, it says 28 days, but we can't tell if it's been fertilized yet.
Right.
Because it's day one, so maybe in the next couple of days, if we can see signs of development, there's a little light check that you put up there. You put it up against a light, and then you can kind of see
inside
the
egg. This is the all-time great project I've ever seen.
This is fun.
Your own pet duck, dude.
I hope so.
Especially going right into summer.
Yeah.
Kind of keep the learning going.
This would be great, you know, if
we got to come up with a good duck name.
That's right. Yeah. So.
Or if it doesn't work out, what are we going to do?
Daffy? Well, then you eat it.
Yeah, you probably throw it away.
How do you explain? Do you tell the daughter? She's really excited right now, right?
She is.
She's super excited. She's probably checking on it every day.
Yes.
If this thing goes south, do we have an exit strategy?
Yeah, I'll just tell her it wasn't fertilized. You know, maybe we'll have a birds and the bees discussion. Maybe that would be a good starting point for that.
I love it.
You know, I don't know. But she is obsessed with it right now.
That's
it's already caused her to cry twice.
Oh, wow.
As you know how those things can go. Yeah. You know, because she wants to play with it now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to sit there. Okay. We got the G-Bag of the Day champ coming up on the other side. Went to a vote-off last time we did it. And then the top 10 at 220. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Well, we're going to have to bring in college football Carter for this. The Athletic's got a new article out. Who are the top 10 college football teams since 2000? Let's debate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We'll replay the G-Bag of the Day champion for you here in just a moment. And then get to Wolchuk's top 10. I think he's got some college football content coming in here. I guess that's why Carter Freeman is over my left shoulder. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable.
If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Into the Pimp Cup. Lucius, have a good weekend.
Yeah, bro, fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. Goes by so fast, even if you get an extra day.
Yes.
Goes by so fast.
It was beautiful. Who's our champ?
All right. Looks like a gentleman from Dayton. I assume Florida. How the video turned out, I assume it's Florida and not Ohio right here.
Uh-huh.
He was pulled over by the fuzz. He was allegedly drunk. He drank so much that he lost his hearing. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook.
Can you please tell me why you're stopping me?
Yeah, I'm about to.
Huh?
I'm about to.
What?
I'm about to tell you.
Stop sign?
No. I said I'm...
What stop sign, man?
I said I'm about to tell you.
Huh? You say stop sign?
No one said stop sign but you.
Why are you stopping me?
You made an improper right-hand turn. What are you trying to do?
Stop sign?
You got to turn that closest lane.
Let me get my ID out for you, partner.
I appreciate you, man.
Okay.
What are you doing, bro?
Sir.
What?
Why did you stop me in the beginning? What's the proper call?
You made an improper right-hand turn.
What is the proper call?
You had to turn into the closest lane provided.
I would just say that right here.
I did multiple times.
What?
What?
What? Right-hand turn?
Yes, that's why you're being stopped.
Are you for real?
Ma'am.
Wait. Is he for real?
And then you also have a beer.
I was at a house.
Oh, he's got a beer,
and
too.
And y'all got a warrant to arrest me.
I did?
About an improper turn.
No,
are you kidding me?
No one got a warrant to arrest you. You just stop your
piss me off, man.
How much you have to drink tonight?
Sir?
How much did you drink tonight?
Huh?
How much did you drink tonight?
I don't really drink.
That was the beer you were just trying to grab out of my hand.
I ain't finna lie to you, I don't drink.
What? You don't drink?
I swear to God, I don't drink.
I swear to God.
Never seen a drink in my life.
Yeah. Not liquor anymore, anyway.
Just, yeah, I know.
Just beer.
Yeah. What?
About 12, 14 of them.
A stop sign?
Man, it sounds like a drunk Foghorn Leghorn almost.
What
a character. It is time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 220. Here he is, the Wooly Bully.
Let's talk some college football. There has been some news lately. Greg Sankey, there's more traction on a 16-team college football playoff format than anticipated. They were thinking maybe they'd go to 14. Hey, maybe they expand this. We're just going to go all the way to 16. And then we got the stud wide receivers, Ryan Williams from Bama, Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State. They're going to be on the EA Sports College Football 26 cover. So shout out to them. They deserve it. Those two are absolutely phenomenal. But I saw our buddy, friend of the show, friend of the station, Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. He pumped out the best college football teams of the 2000s. Now, he ranked 25 of them. We're focusing here on the top 10. And we do have college football Carter Freeman, who usually is behind the scenes running your Twitch and your YouTube. But we do have Carter's Corner every Sunday in Bet Nation. If you're interested, 2 to 7 p.m., the BetMGM Network. And Carter mans that exceptionally well.
Yep, we talked college football, Carter's Corner. This last Sunday, I went on basically a 15-minute rant. I didn't really let you guys talk that much because I was so upset with some of these automatic qualifier things going on, potentially, with the college football playoff. And if we go to 16 teams in the playoff, which seems inevitable, let's just do the top 16 ranked teams. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, open shut case.
877-881-1053. Who is the best college football team since 2000? And put this out on the X, formerly known as Twitter, but it'll always be Twitter to me.
I can name one.
2001 Hurricanes. I know you're going to be rooting for your 2019 LSU Tigers.
It should be number one.
It should be?
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot of love for the 0-1 Hurricanes. 19 LSU did get some votes here on the timeline
as
well.
Don't tell me they're an honorable mention.
No. They'll be in the top 10. They'll be in the top 10.
Firmly in the top 3.
We just shut the Athletic down if that 2019 team was an honorable mention.
05 Texas also getting a ton of love.
Really good team.
And the 2013 Florida State Seminoles got a vote as well. The 0-1 Miami, I think, got the most amount of votes for people that responded to this. So here's your honorable mentions. We'll do the top three, just looking in on the outside. 2005 USC.
Who did not win the title.
They lost to number one Texas. Their signature wins, they beat Notre Dame on the road. They were ninth in the country. They beat Oregon, 12th in the country. They beat UCLA and Cal that year, all big, except for that Notre Dame game. You got Florida State.
Wait a minute. Did they have a title in 04?
In 04.
But it got vacated? Is that what happened to that?
Did that one get vacated?
That I'm sorry, I'm asking.
'05 was the year that the Reggie Bush Heisman got taken away.
I don't think the title got vacated.
Okay.
I think they still got that '04 title.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
But these
sorry
are just
that.
Best teams, period. Even if they didn't necessarily win the national championship, they got mentioned on the list. 12 is the 2013 Florida State Seminoles, undefeated, beat Auburn in the national championship game. That was Jameis Winston. You had Timmy Jernigan, LaMarcus Joyner, Cam Irving.
I thought Timmy Jernigan was going to be a really good player.
They were pretty freaking loaded. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, who was a really good college player, didn't translate to the NFL, but they were pretty damn good. And number 11, just on the outside looking in, is the 2023 Michigan Wolverines. First team to go 15-0. They beat Washington, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State.
That's a tough one. They should have been the top 10 likely.
Man, yeah. Blake Corum, Chris Jenkins. You know, we'll see how many of those translate to the pros, but that was a loaded team. I mean, even this year, they
just had
the
victories to get to where they needed to be.
Beating Washington and Bama and Ohio State that year was really good.
Yeah. I think that 2013 Florida State team's better than that Michigan team.
And the Michigan team?
I would put that. I think that you look at the teams that Florida State played in 2013, the ACC was not as strong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they beat all of them by 40. And until that Auburn game, I mean, they were just plowing through everyone on their schedule.
All right, here's your top 10. I know, Dutch, you're like, Michigan's got to make this. Well, they were 11, right? I'm sorry. 2000, Miami. That should have been in the national championship over Florida State. They beat Florida State 27-24 that year. They beat number 6 Virginia Tech. They also beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl that year.
Okay, was this like, this is Ed Reed? Is this Ed Reed?
Santana Moss, Dan Morgan, Ed Reed.
Sean Taylor?
Butch Davis was there. I don't know if Sean Taylor was playing in the 01 team. He probably was there for 2000.
Okay.
I don't know how, but I mean, they had
Clinton Portis,
Reggie Wayne.
Willis McGahee, I believe, right?
Willis McGahee was a little bit later, but he might have been a backup on this team. He might might not have been playing a ton.
Yeah.
But yeah, their studs, I mean, their receivers, you had Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable right there. But they had the loss at number 15, Washington, 34-29. That kept them out of the natty in what was Florida State and Oklahoma. Now it was the last time the Sooners won the natty there.
It was, and I wasn't, you know, I was 6 years old when OU won this title, so I don't know the debate back and forth, but, you know.
You don't know what it feels like. You don't know what it really tasted like.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it. Kind of hurts, but this Miami team beat the Florida State team that ended up going to the national championship game. So I wonder, like, was it the Big East was just viewed as weaker and Florida State won the ACC and that was just better for them at the time? Like, I don't know. Oklahoma was undefeated. They were going to make it no matter what. And then you look at Washington, I believe they had one loss as well and they beat Miami.
Yeah.
So
they were 15th in the country when they beat Miami. 09 is the number 9 is the 09 Alabama Crimson Tide. 14-0. This was the team that defeated Texas in the Rose Bowl.
That made the second Saban team or third Saban team? I'm asking a lot of questions today. Sorry about that.
That might have been his first one at Alabama that won the national championship.
It was his first title. I think it was his third year. I think you're right,
okay.
Broadus.
Yeah.
Because 07 is first year, they lost to ULM.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later,
they
won
bad
the title.
For a couple years. Well, Alabama. Bad.
How about this? Out of his 7 national championships, this was one of the only 2 to do it while going undefeated. Pretty impressive for Saban there. But this team had Mark Ingram. You had Rolando McClain, Javier Arenas, who was a stud in college, if you remember him, also as a kick returner. Mark Barron, who ended up being a top 10 pick. Mm. And they beat Texas 37-21, also beat up Florida really big in that SEC title game. 8 is the 2016 Alabama Crimson Tide with O.J. Howard. That's when he went off. You also had Reuben Foster, Jonathan Allen, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Robinson, the offensive tackle on that team. 7. We've got Georgia of 2022. This is when they were eating chicken wings because they beat TCU so damn bad.
Well, they crushed TCU that day. My God. Yeah,
and man, Oregon really to start that season.
All-time clowning. Really national championship game. Basically the entire fourth quarter, their players were just consuming refreshments like chicken wings and lemonades. I think they're having cocktails out there.
They were.
The celebration started at the end of the third quarter.
And they drilled Oregon.
They didn't
even
put 4 fingers up, did they? You know, like,
no,
you know, 4 fingers.
They did, but they all had
like
the wing sauce on them.
All over.
They had ranch on their faces in the championship celebrations.
Wearing ranch for eye black.
Yeah, they got blue cheese on the trophy.
That 58-point natty win against TCU, largest ever against an opponent ranked in the top 3 of the AP poll at the time.
Wow.
2018 Clemson
comes in at number six.
Is that Deshaun?
This is Trevor Lawrence. This was his first season because it was Kelly Bryant started this year. They barely beat A&M in College Station. Trevor Lawrence takes over, and then they just truck stick everyone on their schedule. I think they allowed less than 20 points in their two college football playoff games because they whooped Notre Dame, who was undefeated.
But it was crap out of Alabama.
Weak Notre Dame team. And then that was an undefeated Alabama team as well that they destroyed.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, their defensive line, you had Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Cleland Farrell, who didn't work out in the NFL but was amazing in college.
Hey, don't tell that to Mike Mayock and Jon Gruden.
Yeah,
he was worth the number four overall
ETN,
pick in the draft.
T. Higgins, and Hunter Renfrow all on that team. That was a pretty damn loaded team. Your top five, here's 04 USC. 04 USC at 13-0 with Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush. They beat Oklahoma in the BCS championship 55-19. That was Steve Smith, who ended up being a New York Giant wide receiver. Had an unbelievable game in that one.
How much do you remember that loss, Carter?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember what that one feels like and tastes like?
You know what I actually remember about that year is Auburn was undefeated that year too. And you had three undefeated teams. You can only have two in the national championship game. Auburn might have been was probably better than Oklahoma that year.
Probably.
2003 was the better OU team. The 2014 went undefeated, great, and then lose by 30 points in the national championship game. That Auburn team from that same year was awesome. I think they're around 20 on this list.
Was that like Carlos Rogers, the corner? They went to Jason Campbell was their quarterback that ended up going to Washington.
Maybe so. They won the Sugar Bowl. Look.
Yeah, yes, that Auburn team was awesome.
Because they beat, Virginia Tech or something like that?
Yes, that's exactly the team I'm thinking of. They were that was the last team to go wire-to-wire as the number one in the AP poll. That was the 04 USC team.
Ronnie Brown and
Cadillac Williams.
Cadillac Williams.
2020 Alabama comes in at number four. That was Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith.
That 2020 Alabama team, I think because it was the COVID year, people don't think about it as much. But given how loaded the team was and how they beat, I mean, all these teams beat most of their schedule by 40, 50 points, it seems like. But to do that against an SEC-only schedule, and they beat the number two, four, and five teams in the final college football playoff ranking by like
and then number seven, billion. Georgia, they beat the crap out of too.
Yes, they did.
What Auburn team was that again?
2004.
Number three, here's your top three college football teams since 2000. And this is per The Athletic, Stuart Mandel. Number three is 05 Texas, 13-0.
Oh, Texas fans are about to be upset.
Texas coming in at number three.
Vince they don't want to hear anything other than number
Justin
one.
Justin Blaylock, Plano East Zone, Aaron Harris, Michael Huff. Gosh, the play that Michael Huff made in that game. David Thomas, who went on to have a great career. Sergio
Jason
Kindle.
Campbell, you're absolutely right about that.
And he went to Washington. And I think that corner went to Washington too, Rogers.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that was in that.
Tommy Tuberville was the coach.
Tommy Tuberville. Yeah. Wow.
Senator.
Tommy. Yeah, that's right.
Beating number two USC. I mean, that's still the greatest game ever. Number two, though, Brian brought us is the 2019 LSU Tigers. And 15-0, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Grant Delpit, Derek Stingley, not to mention Justin Jefferson thrown in there as well. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Their defense got lit up a couple of games, though.
Yeah, they allowed. They were number 31 in points allowed. They were not elite, but offensively they were.
Oh, they had
so
some rough games.
Good.
They had to fight through. It's just the fact so the offense good. Was so good.
But the two close games for that LSU team were in week two against Texas and week 10 or 11 against Alabama. They were ahead the entirety of both of those games. Like the defense did keep letting points, but the offense was so good that it didn't matter. Where as you just watched them, you're like they're going to go down and score, and they did every single time.
It just seemed like we had a bad game against Auburn too. That kind of
24-20.
It was a close
23-20. They got past number 14 Auburn.
Yeah,
but number one is indeed the 2001 Miami Hurricanes with Clinton Portis, Jeremy Shockey, Ken Dorsey at quarterback. You had Phillip Buchanan.
Two live crew.
I mean, it was this was a who's who. I mean, your backfield was Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Najee Davenport. And then you had Andre Johnson, Jeremy Shockey, and then your offensive tackle with McKinney, who was a longtime Viking, Bryant McKinney.
He was like 6'8", just a total monster.
Just a freaking
savage. And on defense, they had like Antrell Roll, and they had, wasn't Vince Wilfork on that team?
Yes, he was.
John Beeson might have been on that team.
Jonathan Vilma.
That was the Jonathan Vilma era, okay.
To your point about the defense,
ridiculous.
12 games, they allowed 10 or more points in four of them. Jeez. And they had three shutouts.
Frank Gore, Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, I believe they would have had a winning record that year if their offense never scored a touchdown.
I think you're right. Yeah.
How about this? They had 38 players from that 2001 team selected in the subsequent NFL drafts.
38?
17 of them were being first-round picks.
17?
Definitely.
DJ Williams.
Oh, at one point or another?
Yeah, at one point or another, yeah.
It's probably the greatest team ever.
Holy cow. It's loaded. I'd say so. Thanks for that stroll down memory lane, wow. Little Chuck. Mm. Okay, Sands is coming up in about 2 hours, 4:40. He'll preview Rangers, Blue Jays. Rangers player show coming up at 3:20. What are we doing next, Eric?
Restroom revelations. We have to address the weekend sports pee next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We got reaction to the Rangers weekend. Look ahead to Toronto coming up in 3 o'clock. In that segment, we'll talk about that. Then at 3:20, the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Right now, here's Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Among other things, we have a sports P to address. Let's go ahead and hit it. All right, boys and girls. The Indy 500 has come and gone.
Sure
Broadus, who was in there cleaning up the ever-delicious Shell Shack lunch right now. I'm sure he is fiending to talk about and give some analysis of the Indy 500, but what I'm here to give you is the story from the eighth place finisher, 33-year-old Indiana native Mr. Connor Daly, who was actually leading the race for 13 laps. There was a thunderstorm situation that delayed the proceedings by about 45 minutes. And
the worst.
And so he's sitting there in what he describes as the nicest car he's ever been in. Nature called, and he had to do what he had to do. Here he is at the microphone.
I want to thank my mechanics specifically, because there's been a lot of talk tonight, and I saw on the internet as well, a lot of toilet talk and maybe some using of the bathroom, and because we had to wait a long time before the race, right? Never in my life have I urinated in my race car until Sunday. I was sitting on the grid and I was like, this is the best car I've ever been in my whole life. Like I'm gonna have to pee in this thing. I kid you not.
Oh my God.
I legitimately urinated in my race car before the race even started.
Before the race even started.
People asked me, like, when did you do it? I was like, we didn't even start. We sat in there for 30 minutes.
Was it because you had to go, or was it excitement?
No, I had to go really bad. It was, I don't know if it's the diabetes or I'm just getting older, but Elio should know. He's like halfway to 100. I don't know if that happens to him a lot. But
Elio?
Man, I don't know. Maybe it is getting older, but that I literally did the entire race sitting in my own pee. So that's a tough one. I felt like we're in a trust tree here. We don't have to show that on Fox. Maybe you guys can just keep that to yourselves.
They can just edit that
man,
part of live
tough.
Out.
Tough. So thank you, mechanics, for dealing with that.
No one's got to know.
The trust tree
between us. Whew. So he's open wheel guy? This Indy guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you can dry out then as the race goes on, but I don't know.
The sweat factor, right?
Okay, the sweat factor. That just sounds so uncomfortable. I think before I did that at the beginning of the race, is what, a 3-4 hour race?
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and say, hey, we're going to have to hold this up a few minutes.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. He's talking about the delay, but usually it's still, this is a marathon of sorts. Hey,
I think there's a lot of these racers that are peeing in the car.
These guys are probably peeing in the car left and right.
But at the beginning of the race?
No, at the beginning, that's awful. When you're in the heat of the moment, you're driving, the adrenaline's going, you may not even feel the pee come out. You're too locked in. But pre-race, now you're sitting there in the discomfort. That's an extra layer of adversity you have to overcome.
But as a father of young children, you know how irritating the urine on the skin can be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be, is it going to be a rash? Is it going to be, it's going to
be. No, that's true. But yeah, maybe eventually the sweat just kind of takes over, and now the sweat has taken over where the urine was. You're probably dehydrated.
The posterior glute itch that had to have been just overwhelming by the end of that.
And it's sitting in that suit. I mean, is that suit drying out?
It's going to stink.
Is that wicking fabric? Is that absorbent? I don't know. But it sounds disgusting to me. And I just have a rule. You know, I don't want to keep anybody waiting, right? But once you've created any sort of delay, that's open season for me. I'm waiting for you. You'll have no problem returning that favor, or we got a problem. So I'm going to get up and hit the restroom here while we're waiting in this delay.
I mean, yeah. All the money that goes into racing, like we can't, like we got pea suits, can't figure out a way to just kind of make this happen.
Okay. Broadus is in the building now. Okay, yeah. How often are these guys, you think, urinating on themselves throughout the course of a 3+ hour event?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, okay, so it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen, yeah.
But it's not something that really gets talked
about. These dudes get super dehydrated, so
they're losing like 10 pounds, I read.
Yeah, pee problem is not one of the things you have to deal with. And you'll see guys before a race jump out before they strap in. Because once you strap in...
It's over.
You mean, it takes a good bit to get you hooked up with your radio, your cooling unit, all those stuff. So, yeah, you don't just like, hey, I'm going to pull over and go to the men's room kind of a thing. You just go in your suit.
But we're stopped. You know, this is before the race. I got a monster pee to take.
Yeah, you've got to get that before you get strapped in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you're strapped, you're just...
You're pretty much in the car and you got to pee on yourself. Yeah.
That's a long afternoon. Mm-hmm. He ends up finishing eighth.
A top 10 finish.
But gosh, I bet he was just beelining for the showers.
Oh,
yeah. That.
Oh, that'd be a glorious shower.
Some of those guys, though, like they get right on their plane and go home. They take the suit off and just change clothes and go.
They don't even shower?
There's not a shower there, no.
If you peed before, though, you would
shower. If they went, like you could go back to fifth, guys have mobile homes on site, like in the competitor lot. They could go and change clothes there. But there's a lot of guys, it's hilarious how some of these teams don't, you know, they all fly together on like one big charter service. And it's funny, like they'll have these summertime races and the crews won't even shower. They'll just put on their clothes and get on the plane.
That's ridiculous.
And fly back to Charlotte.
That's ridiculous.
And yeah, and my crew chief, but he's like, you will not believe the smell on those airplanes.
That's
like
horrible.
They're racing like in these places that, you know, hot Midwestern races and stuff, Kansas, whatever. And then everybody just gets on the plane and they're all just smelling.
Smelling like pee and BO.
Yeah.
That's great combo. Rough. Not a place you want to find yourself.
No. Not going to get that cleaning deposit back.
Yeah. What percentage, speaking of urination, there was a survey done, 2,000 general population Americans on the frequency of peeing in the shower. What percentage of Americans do you think
75%
voted yes that at any point over the course of a year they will pee? Maybe they're not frequent shower
75%.
Peers. Wow. Okay, that's a big number.
Yep.
39%.
Oh, okay. Only
going 100% of men and about 1 in 3.
And if
ladies.
It's anything less than 75%, they're lying.
Maybe these. Okay. Then that's what's happening.
I'm calling
here.
You a liar. If you,
so you're a peer in the shower.
We have a bunch
you
of,
nailed it.
We people have a bunch
do.
Of liars.
I mean, yeah, you do.
People
I,
do that.
I can't. No, I'm saying 75%. I do not want that to get on my feet.
Yeah. That, so you don't, I don't,
but I'm just saying that there's people that don't give a damn about
sure.
that. They don't
Absolutely.
Give a damn. So yeah. I'm saying there is a very high number of this.
Well, the shower self-cleaning. You know,
yeah,
all that
it
soap
goes
and
down
water.
The drain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, if it's an emergency, I can't say I've never done it in my life. But
you would rather
it's
pee in the shower than waste water by flushing a commode. How about that?
100%. And I just don't want that feeling of discomfort. Now I'm having to dry off and having to like go stand at the toilet naked.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that's just weird and unnecessary. Now the bathroom floor might be wet. You know, we're just going to let this go. It's going to the same place. It goes to the same pipe. Yeah.
12% of Americans
That's
say
liars.
They
12%,
pee daily.
Really?
There's
24% total said that they do from time to time. So 24% of Americans are admitting that they pee at least sometimes in the shower. Now, what do you think by gender? You said 100% of men.
Yes, sir.
30% of men said they do so regularly.
Hmm.
What do you think the number is for women that regularly urinate in the shower?
15.
I'm going to go
19.
I'm going to go. Oh, I was going to go 21.
20%. 20% of women. Now, apparently the millennials are peeing in the shower at a much more rapid rate than, say, the Gen Xers or the baby boomers.
Aren't they conserving water? Aren't those people?
Free thinkers.
They're attributing it to the day and age that we're in now, which is everything is about multitasking, tasking, and like you're trying to go two birds, one stone with everything. So they're like, it's just more efficient. The younger generation feels like it's more efficient for me to just pee in my shower.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll put my hand up and say, absolutely, it is. Confirmed.
100%. Yeah, you know, sometimes when you turn on that shower, the sound of it hitting the floor makes you have to pee. instantly.
Sure. Right.
You know,
yeah.
The sound of
absolutely.
Water.
Absolutely. Everything. Yeah. Yeah. You're in an environment now that connotes, I kind of got
to
pee.
That's what they say. If you're ever at the doctor's office and you have to fill up the cup or put some in the cup, then you just turn on that water and it makes you go to the men's room.
I love that. That's a veteran move right there.
All righty. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
I'm asking my sources, is everything cool with Jacob DeGrom? You know, he didn't strike anybody out yesterday, only threw 81 pitches. He was going pretty good, but I'll have the answer to that question and everything else happening in the local sports scene coming up next here in the Three Piece. It's the Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.